I'm Tom Rowe. You're listening to Turn On The News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, sound art, and more. It's a radio show about the radio. Tonight we've got all sorts of headlines, first in Washington and on Capitol Hill, where the Congress is trying to peel back or darken some of the sunshine or transparency laws that have recently gone into effect with the FCC. The FCC also has a fine and a ruling. We will also travel to Ethiopia, find about controls on the internet there, and also in South Carolina. And we'll try to triangulate Amelia Earhart, or at least where she last transmitted. We'll tune into Todd Dockstader, Man Forever, The Video Freaks, and Ian Jarvis. You can go to FREE103POINT9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org to find out more about transmission art or radio art, radio news, media news, sound art, and more. Or you're listening to Turn On The News, a radio show about radio. And we go first to the radio headlines. And Kenan Steiner at the Sunlight Foundation Reporting Group, reporting.sunlightfoundation.com is the website, reports that on Wednesday, June 6th, the U.S. House Subcommittee voted to defund the Federal Communications Commission's initiative announced in April that would provide online access to spending for political ads on some local television stations. Basically, they were rolling out, moving the broadcast file, which is an actual manila folder still, that any member of the public can go to and look at and find out information about the broadcast station and whether it's fulfilled its FCC obligations or not. They've started with the big television stations and saying you've got to put that information online, and eventually we're going to roll it down to the small television stations and the large radio stations and the small radio stations. This is the first step, the big television stations. And first what happened was the National Association of Broadcasters filed a brief in a lawsuit against the ruling. Basically, they'll never win that case, but they will delay the implementation of the online broadcast file. And now Republicans in the U.S. House are voting to defund the initiative. Meanwhile, the FCC is continuing to go about its work, and Radiosurvivor.com, Jennifer Waits, reports about FCC ruling just announced with a fine of $50,000 for KUSF and the Classical Public Radio Network, which has taken over CPRN in California and kind of monetized that radio frequency. You can read that story by Jennifer Waits at Radiosurvivor.com. Reporters Without Borders is reporting that Ethiopia's only ISP, the state-owned Ethio Telecom, has just installed a system for blocking access to the Tor network, which lets users browse anonymously and access blocked websites. And this, they're saying at the same time, the state-owned printing presses are demanding the right to censor the newspapers they print. You can go to Reporters Without Borders and look for the Ethiopia Government Steps Up Control News and Information story. Likewise, you can head to South Carolina for not quite a similar situation, but South Carolina Senate is voted in a second reading of House Bill 3508 that will turn over rural broadband responsibilities to AT&T, which has a very poor track record with providing rural broadband and does have no plan for it in South Carolina. You can go to Community Broadband Networks at muninetworks.org for more information about House Bill 3508 in South Carolina. Under us tonight, we're listening to Pansonic and Transmission. Brad Knickerbocker at the Christian Science Monitor and many other publications are reporting about new evidence about Amelia Earhart and where she ended up in the Pacific on her famous early air voyage attempt across the Pacific, and where she was never found and no evidence was really found. But scientists have now worked with 120 radio signals that were reported at the time. They've determined that 57 of those 120 signals are credible and possible Amelia Earhart signals. And triangulating those with new equipment that hasn't been before available to triangulate where a signal's coming from based on where the signal's received, they've now let it that Amelia Earhart's position must have been Nikumoro Island. And indeed, later evidence was found at Nikumoro Island of not of plane crash, but of Western relics and things that might have been on a plane, cups and such. So it's pretty sure that is what happened on July 2nd, 1937. I'm Tumber. You're listening to Turn On the News, a radio show about radio. We just heard first from the BBC Radiophonic Workshop Ocean, and then Bernard Herrmann with Prelude Outer Space Radar. Now behind us we hear Man Forever, the side band, the side project, the drumming project, I guess, of Kid Millions, the drummer for the rock band Oneida. It's a kind of a multi-drummer tone situation, as you can hear. 3.9's FM outlet in upstate New York, WGXC, will have a live webcast of Man Forever on June 24th, live from the Spotty Dog Books and Ale. We'll also have one this Saturday, June 9th, featuring Woods and Black Puss, which is Brian Chippendale from Lightning Bolt. Many other interesting webcasts available for free through 3.9 at WGXC. We'll listen to a little Man Forever. This is their new video, Eternity. Videos by Nick Chatfield Taylor, and is it online at imposemagazine.com, probably other places.
I knew you wouldn't.
You don't.
You should have.
You shouldn't do that.
You just can't, can you?
Well, you didn't.
Did you have to?
You. I could have.
I really didn't have to.
I
sorry.
All right, this is time you're listening to Turn on the News. That last track was Katie McMurrin, You and I, from Deep Wireless 8, and also before Man Forever, which we're hearing again underneath, we heard Elements of Time from Ian Jarvis. Both those tracks were from Deep Wireless 8, a radio art compilation from Toronto. Right, next up, Wired magazine has a new series, Legends of Electronic Music. Not sure if Gita Dial is writing all of them, or she at least takes the first one. Todd Dockstotter. Read just the beginning of here. In the 1940s, before magnetic tape was widely available in the United States, electronic music pioneer Todd Dockstotter made lo-fi recordings set on steel wire. Quote, "I love the idea of the wire singing," Dockstotter said in a recent interview with Wired. As a high school student in the 40s, he used the end of a lit cigarette to make splices in the thin wire in a painstaking and risky process. Quote, "You had to tie the wire, which was very fine, in a perfect square knot," unquote, he explained. He would hold the wire up to his nose with the cigarette perched in his mouth. A single wrong move and the edit could be destroyed. Quote, "I became very adept at editing," unquote, he said. I really liked editing. I understood it. To me, it was really basic stuff. You could make decisions, take things out, put things in. I liked that you were building something," unquote. You can read all about Todd Dockstotter at wired.com and look for the Legends of Electronic Music series. We're going to listen to a little of his Ariel song now from an anthology of noise and electronic music. This is Todd Dockstotter on Turn on the News. I'm Tom Rowe. You've been listening to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, sound art, media news, and more. A radio show about radio, transmission art, and more. You can go to FREE103POINT9.org to find out more about the nonprofit transmission arts group Free 103.9 or newsroom Free103.9.org to see international links of radio art, radio news, sound art, media news, and more. Tune in to Turn on the News from Free103.9.org and through the Pacifica Radio Network.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXE Studios in New York.